So I'm here in one of my favorite spots in Bali. This is somewhere I've been coming for the last few years. It's outside of the town where I live, which is actually quite manic. Uber to town in Bali is quite a high traffic, high energy, high population area. It's very, very crammed. So as beautiful as it is, I like to come out here to somewhere a bit more peaceful, which I do fairly regularly. So up here in the valley where the air's a bit cooler and it's nice, and I've done lots of filming here. And today, practice and contemplation and stuff, and yeah, it's good. And contemplation has become an important, like a it's almost it's like the fruition of meditation in a way. And I don't mean the fruition as in, full awakening or anything, but like during meditation, you're trying to essentially allow your mind to grow quiet and go inside and achieve stillness. Whatever your tradition might do, it might have a different way of doing it, but generally, you're not trying to think, not trying to be with the thoughts. And I've learned in life that actually, like post practice, you finish your practice. I try not to go back to straight to normal life. I don't want to finish my meditation, then do a job on the computer or drive somewhere or operate machinery. I don't know, whatever you do in life. I like to just sit and chill out, and I'll often sit in a chair and relax because what I find is there's a natural kind of contemplation that arises after the meditation as a byproduct of it. And it's not contemplation that's directed by a thought, or I'm not trying to think about something. It's like a just a natural upwelling of your thoughts afterwards, and often this natural unfolding contemplation that comes as a byproduct of meditation is different from thinking about a problem or considering it. It often provides a sort of natural insight, a very penetrating insight to who you are, and I found that alongside all of the other benefits to a meditative practice, this is one of the key ones for me, is the nature of the contemplation that comes out as a byproduct of the seated work. And yeah, this is often where my talks on YouTube have come from. Often they are post-meditation, just allowing something to come through. And I don't always agree with them, to be honest. If I look back at what I was saying 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the techniques might be same. Maybe technically I agree with what I was saying on the waist and the quad and the spine and how that works, but the actual ethos and philosophy will likely differ. My view on life is different and will continue to change, I'm sure, as time goes on, because that's the nature of a cultivator. You should be somebody who's very fluid in your way of viewing life. And I think that cultivators go through these sort of short chunks of 2 to 3 years where you're a completely different person. I'm a different person than I was 2 years ago, for sure. I watched recordings of me speaking 2 years ago. It's a completely different person. And then 2 years before that and before that. And I think that's the marker. Oh, that's one of the marker or the signs for someone that is engaged in something that's growing, is growing them, is that you should be constantly shifting. If you meet someone who's, the same at now as they were 5 years ago or 10 years ago, then I think that there's something wrong. That's a kind of stagnation, a kind of rigidness that is not helpful to somebody's development. So I think it's good that there's that shift. But I do notice it can be disorientating for people. In your life, if they're not unfolding or developing at the same pace, for sure. So really, what I want to talk about a bit today is the nature of a spiritual teacher, the kind of the role of it. And I actually don't believe in the term, or I don't believe in the existence of a spiritual teacher. That's really the conclusion I've come to after all these years of practice. I've never called myself a spiritual teacher, by the way. I'm a Qigong teacher. That's it. I'm a Qigong teacher and sometimes a martial art teacher. And I've always told people that I'm a mechanic. I teach you the mechanisms of how these things work according to how it's taught, and that's all. But it doesn't matter how much you say that. Many people will try to project that onto you and try to turn you into a spiritual teacher. And I even have an aversion to talking about spirit, actually. And it's not because I think it's an unimportant part of life or the arts, or that I don't think it's part of the path, but it's just because I didn't choose that as my role. That's not my allotted role. My allotted role is to teach people the mechanics of a system and an art. And often what I find is when people come and then they project onto you, no, you're the spiritual teacher. Even though you try to stay away from that role, there's a lot of projection, and sometimes anger. People get angry at me occasionally because I won't fulfill that role for them. Because I keep telling them I'm not a spiritual teacher. And I tell you why. Because I don't believe in it. I don't believe, like, spiritual to me means connection with spirit. Okay, so connection with spirit means the divine. this is how I personally view it. It might not be how someone else views it. Maybe somebody views becoming telepathic spiritual. Maybe somebody believes becoming very calm and tranquil is spiritual. But none of those for me means spiritual, like any of those things. To me, spiritual means to teach you to connect with spirit, okay? To teach you to connect to the divine. And that's, I don't think anybody can do that. I don't believe that a priest, a rabbi, a guru, a Taoist master, a Buddhist master, none of these people can teach you directly to touch spirit, which is why I don't believe in spiritual teachers in the literal sense of the word. Right out of the bat, I don't believe, by the way, that Shaktipat or empowerment or transmissions can do that for somebody anyway. I don't think, my experience has shown me that that's not actually the case. That sometimes people have a kind of aura around them that can lead you into a certain mental space, but I would not consider that space to be direct connection to spirit. Direct connection to spirit or direct connection to the divine to me is a sudden sort of boop that goes into your body and connects you, connects in your being, I should say, and connects you with a higher thing and a higher state. And some people would consider this a religious experience and some would consider this a spiritual experience. Me, what I consider the Mass is a personal experience. They are personal to you. It doesn't mean that you can't define them, but they are personal to you as a person. Your connection to the divine is your story, is your path. So what can somebody teach you? I think people can teach you the art that changes your body, the art maybe that changes your mind, the art that changes your energy. That is it. That's all I view teachers as being able to do. It doesn't matter whether they're teaching you meditation or Qigong or yoga, Tai Chi, whatever they've chosen as their spiritual path, or you know, the Christian path or the Sufi path, or it doesn't really matter. Like, all they can ever teach you are the things that create variables in you, okay, in you. And you are not spirit. They're separate things. I know people say that we're a spiritual being or the spirit inside us, but of course, we don't start in that state. We are separate from those things. And so even the highest level teachers I've had, great, highly respectable masters, you know, that I would bow down to their skill and their knowledge and their development, for sure. All of the things they've taught me, as high-minded as they are, maybe, at the highest levels, are still only things that change variables in me. That's all. They change the way that I see the world. They change the way that my mind functions. They change the way that my body functions, maybe, or help me to do that. I can change the way that I can manipulate or control qi, energy, you know, for sure. All of those things. But they're still not, that's still not spirit, you know, like still not spirit. I don't believe that that teacher, an outside teacher, can access that spirit for you. So you end up in a role of a teacher, in my opinion, or the way that I see it, or the way the position I've come to is that I don't consider myself a spiritual teacher. I consider myself a Qigong teacher or a Taiji teacher or someone that is assisting you to become efficient at the level of the body, efficient at the level of the energy, more happy and content at the level of the mind, more open with regards to the qi flow in your system. That is it. That is the extent of what I'm trying to teach. And then what the student does with those variables in their own personal way of connecting with spirit, or perhaps if it's within their belief system, their own personal way of experiencing God, that is up to them. That is up to them. I can't do that for them. Nobody can do that for them. No system can do that for them. That is only down to you. The Eastern arts would say that, obviously, a little aside from some Abrahamic or interpretations of Abrahamic religions and things like this, that the path to the spirit is inside, okay, is to go deep inside, go deep inside, go deep inside. Now, to go inside, the only thing we can really ever do is take our awareness, take the light and reverse the light and shine it inside, as they say, to take the consciousness and go deep inside to find where the source of this spirit lay, okay? Now, different traditions will talk about it different ways, but ultimately that's what they're trying to do, to go inside to find where the seat of original spirit sits, okay, using Taoist terminology. Now, realistically, the way I view it is if all the variables were in place, your body was okay, your energy was okay, your psychology was okay, well, you could probably do it straight away. You know, just look inside, oh, there it is, there's original spirit, boom. Now is my Now I have the revelation of a spiritual understanding and I've connected to the divine. But the problem is that there are too many variables in the way. And those variables are our psychology, our mind. The variables are our energetics, channel blockages, things like this. These are an actual thing. The things that get in the way might be the body, physically. There might be issues with regards to the endocrine system, the cellular system, the nervous system. Like these are all different variables that change the way that our mind interacts with our inside when we look inside. I go inside and I put my mind inside. And when I go inside, what I do is I carry with me all of those variables. I carry with me the shape of my nerves, all the things I listed, my endocrine, my blood, my chi, my dantian, my channels, my auric field, my karma, my moods, probably most importantly, the way I see the world, my resentments, my enmities, my all of these different things, you know, and I carry them all inside. They're all carried inside with my mind when I go inside. And those are the variables that create the block that mean you cannot contact spirit. So maybe you can see what I'm getting at, right? It might be splitting hairs, but this is why, in my view, the role of the teacher, or certainly my role as a teacher, is to try to help people to take away, or no, not take away, to clean up and make efficient as many of those variables as possible. I have to be careful with the words. So that the body functions better, so the energy functions better, so the psychology functions better, so that when they go inside, or I go inside, or the student goes inside, then the variables don't prevent, okay, my mind from absorbing into spirit to give me a personal experience to the divine or a personal connection to God. But the personal connection to God or the divine didn't come from me. I've had students who've managed to have some quite profound experiences in life, but those experiences didn't come from me. If I assisted in any way, it was to change some of the variables or to give them systems and exercises to change the variables so that when they look inside, they could do the work. But there are other people that, you know, maybe have different variables. The body is different, the energy is different, the mind is different. And that's the level that I, as a teacher, am working on. And I believe that's the level that all teachers are working on. I really do. And before people, you know, say, oh, you've not met the right teacher, no, I think I probably have. I've met a few. And when they, you know, I've been in rooms and with other people and they've given an empowerment, you know. So the room is radiated with energy. There's a kind of magnetism that fills the space. And everybody within that space gets blissed out or goes to a strange place, you know. Like, and it can give you a hit, like an experience, boom, inside there. But it's still not spirit. Often what is happening is that blissed out or lost or profound state is because some of the variables are taken away. You're experiencing yourself with less thoughts, and maybe energy has been produced to a higher degree inside your body. Maybe the brain is producing the happiness chemicals or whatever, and to give you this sudden experience, but it's not really spirit. It's not spirit that you're experiencing. It's not the Holy Spirit. It is the variables being adjusted at maybe a very rapid rate. So if you think of it like this, if I was going to move to A to B, and I do it over 6 months or a year, from here to here, it's a gradual process, and I normalize each step. So I don't even really notice the change. But then if somebody can tear me from there to there very, very fast, the sheer contrast of A to B, done rather than over a year and done in a few seconds, can create a cascade of reactions inside my body, such as my mind being blown, emotional heightened, a rapture, experiences of energy moving inside the body. But they're not spirit. They are variables changing. They are the mechanics of the variables changing inside your body and then change inside your mind. But once those variables and everything have been changed and the body has been changed, the energy has been changed, I still have to do the work to connect to spirit. That's still a personal thing I have to do. That's still my personal responsibility, and only I have the option to do that as an individual, just the same as every student only has the option to do that as an individual. That's not possible for me or any other teacher. That is between them and their God, them and their heaven, them and their divine state. That is a personal thing. And I guess that to me, this is why I say the role of a spiritual teacher does not really exist. Not really. We can use the term, and maybe I'm splitting hairs, and it's an okay term, and I don't have a problem when people use it. I really don't. I just think that sometimes we should be careful because it gives people the wrong expectations, which is why I try to tell people as much as I can, I am a mechanic. That is it. I'm a mechanic. Your body is a machine. Your energy system is a machine. Maybe even your mind, it's probably a bit cruel to look at it as a machine, but is a thing with variables, and we will discuss these things and we will train together. We will try to change these variables, and those variables will improve your health. Those imperials will give you, variables will give you a better connection to energy, but they're not going to do the thing that lots of people want, which is that direct connection to God or divinity. We'll not do that. That is up to them. That is not within my capabilities or, in my opinion, any other teacher's capabilities. It is not. It is a personal thing. It's funny as well, like, the variables is a major component of this. Like, think of it like this. I've known people who meditated for many years, and they didn't really get anywhere. You know, they struggled. No great results. Maybe calmed down a bit, but knew themselves a bit better, but not great results, you know. And then they come to train. And then we go, okay, and they want to learn meditation off me. And I say, well, no, I'm not a meditation teacher. I'm a mechanic. That's what I always tell them. So then what we do is we work on the body and we work on the energy system, maybe work on some things with the mind, but not meditative, like concentration and things like this. And we develop those things, a lot of energy work, a lot of energy work. And then after they've done this work, often they will go back to meditation. Okay, they will go and do a 10-day retreat here, 20-day retreat here, 6 months retreat here, and they will go and do some meditation. And then know what happens? They meditate, all of a sudden they get results. They get results. The meditation now leads them into jhana. The meditation now, they achieve samadhi to a level they've not experienced before, or profound changes to their nature. And then do you know what universally happens? Normally they will get annoyed and say, ah, I shouldn't have left meditation in the first place. I should have stayed here. Shouldn't have wasted my time with the Qigong. It always blows my mind, and I don't mind because everyone's path is their own, but it does blow my mind that can't they see that the variable, the thing that changed from this meditation of the retreat that worked to the meditation of years and years and years of failing was between there and there, they studied something different that changed the variables in their energy system, their body, and perhaps in their psychology. And then what happens is when those things were changed within them, when they went back to their meditation, they put their mind inside, all of a sudden they got results. So did what I teach them do the meditation for them? Not at all. No, the meditation and the connection to divinity or a spiritual state was their personal experience and their personal task and their personal achievement that they carried out. The only thing that maybe I assisted with was I helped with some of the variables in their body or the energy before they went back to their meditation. Now I tell you this because, and this also causes problems as well, because I've seen this, people will do this, and this is an example, meditation and Qigong to meditation, but I've seen people do it in Tai Chi to energy work, back to Tai Chi or whatever, you know. And then if they ever teach, they will only teach from where they're at. That's what they'll do. So they'll be like, right, I did a 10-day meditation retreat and it gave me a connection to God. Therefore, what I will teach people is what I did on this 10-day meditation retreat. And do you know what happens? Nobody gets results. They don't do it. You cannot pass on to the people what you are teaching because they didn't go through the same process as you, because you have also gone through 9 or 10 other arts, perhaps, or maybe deep into one other art, or many different things, and you've led a life that changed the variables of who you are before you did that 10-day meditation retreat. So if you're going to get people to get the same results, they have to walk the same path as you. Or more accurately, they have to find their own path that changes the variables according to what they need. It's very, very complicated. So even if that 10-day meditation gave you connection to the divine, you still probably need to teach people the energy work and the meditation for 5 years you did prior to getting to those 10 days, before that technique will even do anything. That's the nature of how this training works. And time again, I see people forget this. I see people forget this over and over. You know, they will only pay homage to the last thing that they did. This is the thing that works, without realizing that there's a whole load of steps that lead up to that process you have to go through. Now, I think that as a teacher, and I'm not just talking about myself, but all internal arts teachers, we have to accept that whether you're teaching yoga or meditation or Qigong or Tai Chi or Bagua, any of those things, breathwork, I don't know, you're only teaching the thing that changes the variables. Ultimately, the student will have to go and find the connection to spirit themselves afterwards. They will have to do it on their own. That comes back to that whole idea of, you know, you have to follow a tradition, but one of the greatest parts of tradition is learning when to step away from the tradition. I can't even remember when I was first told that saying, but it was one of my Japanese martial arts teachers when I was younger, and it kind of stuck with me. And that's a part of what needs to happen. You can't leave the tradition too early because you need the variables changed. But at some stage, you have to strike out on your own and achieve that connection to true being, or that connection to the spirit, or connection to spirit that really the spiritual path is all about. But the teacher can't do it for you. If I look back at my own path, you know, there's been many variables in me. I know the early stages of my path were physical, just working on the physical body. And then there were psychological, because I had a lot of issues to deal with. And those issues were dealt with through training. The issues were dealt with through personal responsibility, a vitally important thing. Those issues were also dealt with to some degree through teaching as well. You know, I can't say I was a good teacher in the early years at all. And then gradually that led into sort of deeper energetic transformation and what have you. And all the time under very traditional teachers and within lineages and things like this. More power to them. More power to these teachers. Thank you very much for the work they did. Some of them are dead, some of them are alive still, and much gratitude. But really it was my final teacher. I don't say final, maybe I'll meet someone else in the future. But the one I have now, the one I've worked with now for the last decade, was the first teacher to really give me the space to go, okay, now all of this stuff is great. Variables are good, but now you have to step away a little bit and go your own way. And that doesn't mean not to teach the system. That doesn't mean to break away from the way the exercises work. But it was the first teacher that really set me down and said, okay, you want something higher. You want connection to spirit. You want connection to soul. You must do it yourself. So therefore, all the things I've taught you are the variables, but it is your mission, your path in life. You must do it. I cannot do it for you. And I remember at the time, there was almost like a hurt feeling in me, like I've been abandoned or something, abandonment issues that rose up, like, oh, he wants me to strike out my own. And that's not true. I still see him all the time. But he wanted me to go and realize that even on the Taoist path, Jing or Qi, that level of stuff can be trained with systems or techniques or methods for it. But Shen, connection to spirit, there is no direct causative factor. There is only your capability of doing it or not. You know, like the teacher cannot do the Shen part for you. Teacher can only help you with Jing and Qi. Sometimes teacher can inject Qi into the body. Sometimes the teacher can help to consolidate the parts of your body that consolidate the Jing and change the hormonal system, all that sort of stuff, give you herbs and pills to help. But actual Shen, only you can do. And to be given that freedom by a teacher to do that was huge, was a major thing for me. During COVID, which I guess was a time when the world stood still, and first time I had a break with no major teaching role, job or anything like that, finally gave me the time to really sort of explore these things. And it was really from there, you know, 2020 onwards, 2021 really, that really I would say that my true connection to my own spiritual path opened up inside me. So all of those years, age 4, training martial arts and fighting and punching and wrestling, and then Tai Chi and learning to release and mobilize the Qi, then all the Neigong training, and then all the alchemy training with all those people. It was only really when, and I'm not saying I didn't achieve some skill, because I think I do. I think I have some skill. I think I'm okay at teaching and passing these things on. And my understanding, I think, is actually pretty good these days. But the actual connection to spirit could only come when I had that time on my own. Time away from everything else. And then my spiritual path would unfold. And when I speak to my teacher now, and I'm not claiming to be anything particularly good, okay? I'm just touching upon the edge of true being. Just the edge. Just tickling the edge of those peripheries and going into it through my meditative training. But it's fascinating when I sit down and talk to my teacher about it now, is he is very clear that anything I achieved during that time is down to me. You know, all of the variables he assisted with are still mechanics at the level of body or the level of energy or anything, but your own personal experience or connection to spirit is your own and no one else's, you know. So yeah, sorry, no major reason or rationale for this video, just putting it out there post-meditation, because the definition of spiritual teacher is something that is confusing and important to me, because I'm not a spiritual teacher, but a lot of people consider themselves or call themselves spiritual teachers, or they try to fit into the role of spiritual teachers. And I always think that's it's a risky path to go down. Easier to be a mechanic and then leave the responsibility of people, their own connection to spirit or their own connection to God, is their own private business. Just like it is for each of us. It's only us that can do that part of the path.